This Directions Magazine podcast. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor, and today I'm joined by Jules White, Assistant Professor of Computer Science in the Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at Vanderbilt University. And he's joining me because he was one of three guest editors of the February special issue of the Proceedings of the IEEE with a focus on augmented reality. And that's going to be our topic today. I'm so glad you could join me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to it.
Let's make sure we're all on the same page, and let's start off with a good definition of augmented reality.
I think of augmented reality as the fusing of information from the cyber world, so things like digital information that's out on the internet, with what we see in front of us in the real world. So you're walking around and you have a coffee shop in front of you. So it would be fusing and telling you information about that coffee shop, but presenting it to you in some usually visual mechanism related to what you're looking at. So you might see a review of the coffee shop floating over the coffee shop, or information about their menu floating on top of the coffee shop. And that's traditionally the way that augmented reality is thought about, is that visual approach to showing you virtual information associated with that physical object, be it a coffee shop, a remote control, or an engine that's in front of you.
Well, let me just go off on a tangent directly. You made a point of saying most likely visual, but not necessarily. So do we have other kinds of augmented reality? Is there audio augmented reality as well?
Yeah, there actually is. For example, there are applications for the blind that use computer vision essentially to sense things like stop signs or other hazards that somebody might not be able to sense if they're blind, and then provide audio cues to help them be aware of their surroundings. But then you can also take that and you can take virtual information and give somebody audio cues to let them know what's around them. Or, you know, as an example, I had a student project where students were basically building sort of like a virtual sound reality. So as you walked around the campus, you could associate music and sounds with specific locations. And then as you walked around campus, it would automatically mix all the sounds based on their distances from you and give you an audio sort of augmented reality experience as you were walking around. So I think there certainly can be other ways of presenting cyber information about the physical world around you, but visual is the one that people most often think of as augmented reality.
Yeah, I guess the other one that would be interesting, especially for folks who had some limited sight or other limitations, would be tactile, where you could get a poke at something that you needed. There was some information that was valuable to you at this particular location.
Yeah, absolutely. That's sort of along the lines of the study of haptics or feedback, physical sort of touch-based feedback from interfaces to help you. A lot of times that's focused on, you know, interacting with virtual objects and giving you sort of a physical sensation to the interaction with them, and that there was actually a paper in our special issue on that that looked at taking real-world tools that you looked like a real-world pair of tweezers or other object and allowing you to manipulate virtual objects with them. So in that case, it is augmented reality, but it's not just a visual thing anymore. It's providing you sort of an experience of blending that cyber world and that real-world object that you're holding into one experience.
So all of our senses could potentially be available.
Absolutely. And I think part of the reason that visual has been the biggest thing is just that's what fits really well into a smartphone. And a lot of work has been done on making augmented reality experiences that work on your smartphone. And so that's done a lot to basically define the domain.
Well, and let's go to that. So right now, the traditional picture, when I think of augmented reality, I see somebody standing on the street looking through their cell phone and seeing information about, the typical one is, what restaurants are within a certain distance of me that maybe I can't see because they're a few blocks away. Is that still the state of the art? Because that's still so clumsy and awkward and inappropriate to have people standing there holding up their phones.
So that is definitely not the state of the art anymore. The state of the art now is really being driven by computer vision algorithms. So there's been immense advances in the ability to process imagery coming off of either a cell phone's camera or a video camera, and then be able to determine what's going on based on that. To give you an example, there are approaches where you can take a photograph and you can figure out the user's precise location with respect to some object in that photograph. So let's say you take a photograph of a building that's been seen before, they can pinpoint where that camera was down to millimeters and get the exact angle and orientation of the camera and figure out the focal length of the lens and other information simply from taking that picture and applying some computer vision algorithms to it and comparing it to this previously known object, in this case a building. So you can get much, much more sophisticated experiences when you have that level of precision. So you can begin doing things like highlighting a specific window on that building, or taking a picture of a remote control and highlighting every single button on that remote control, and allowing somebody to interact with what they're looking at with individual buttons on their screen and touch them to discover what they do. And that level of experience and precision is made possible by the computer vision algorithm advances that have taken place in the last few years.
So is that the kind of information that's building the databases that we're going to be using for augmented reality, especially sort of in the geospatial realm where my listeners are working? Because one of the big issues we've had is that the location accuracy of the data isn't very good.
One of the things that needs to happen is what Google is doing and other companies are doing, where they're doing things like Street View, and they're building a picture of what everything in the world looks like. And they're doing it both in terms of sort of geographic locations with their Street View type stuff. They're doing it now indoors with, I forget what their indoor product is called. It's Inside View, I believe is what it's called. But you can go and capture all of the imagery of what the inside of a store looks like. And then they're also doing it with search for building imagery of what specific physical objects looks like. So at some point, they're going to have this huge catalog of reference imagery. And when they see new photos or video or live streams of data coming from a mobile phone's sensor, they'll be able to match that imagery up with their database of what they know things look like in order to either tell you what you're looking at in front of you. You know, that's a Honda Element in front of you, or that's a Toyota Prius in front of you, or in order to tell you where you are. Well, you're now exactly at this position relative to the White House. You're standing on exactly 150 feet off of the northwest corner, and your camera is angled at 3 degrees up or whatever it is, and they can give you that sort of precise level of detail. But in order to do all that, they have to build this huge database of imagery, and a lot of companies have started doing that. And then the second thing that they have to do that's a really challenging thing as well is they have to figure out, how do we take all this imagery that we've collected and associate all of that virtual information with these different objects in this imagery? So it's great to know that you're staring at a Toyota Prius, but they have to know or somehow go and label, this is what a Toyota Prius looks like. They have to establish that relationship, that these 100 photos are of a Toyota Prius. And then they have to go and say, okay, well, what is all the information that's relevant to a Toyota Prius? And then they have to go and attach that information to that real-world imagery in some relevant way. For example, they might want to say, here is how the wheels, or here's the type of tires that are on a Toyota Prius. So now they have to go and associate information with a specific part of that imagery, the tires and the car. That cataloging process is starting now and has been happening, but it's going to be a huge endeavor to capture all of the imagery of the things in the world around us and then to annotate all of the specific parts of that imagery with the cyber or virtual information that's relevant to it, ranging from the type of tires on a Toyota Prius to what specific buttons on a remote control for an LG TV do.
My mind was just blown there for a minute. So if you make the database of the physical world, the buildings and the streets and so forth, you've got to keep that up to date.
Absolutely. Let's say that everybody is now using augmented reality on a daily basis. They're either using their phones or they're using Google Glass to record everything that they're looking at as they walk around. Well, the amazing thing is that every time somebody takes a photograph of something and uploads it to the system, or every time somebody starts streaming their video to the system, it can update its state of the known world. So you'll have a point of critical mass where, yes, the world is changing, but people are taking so much video and so many photos of the real world in order to get these augmented reality experiences that their photos themselves are actually being used to continually update the state of the known world. So computer vision algorithms can start saying things like, oh, well, we saw this construction site yesterday. We see a new photo has just been taken of it, and we'll update our known state of that construction site based on this new photo. And hey, we can see that that wall that was 3 feet yesterday is now 10 feet high today. So let's go ahead and update the progress that we see associated with that real world object. I think that's one of the really exciting areas of augmented reality, is not the gimmicky animations that are done to try to sell us things and advertise things, but the really useful analyses that the computer vision algorithms can do to tell us about how the world is changing or what we need to know that's relevant in front of us.
And this also sort of changes the mindset of the augmented reality user, the person who was carrying that phone and looking for restaurants, as a contributor to the giant database of the world.
Yes, absolutely. You read from it and you get to contribute back to it. And I would say that I think that the restaurant reviews example is like a prime example of exactly where augmented reality should not be used. There are lots of things that are probably better ways of presenting that information. And I think that's
you mean like a map?
Yeah, a map's a great example. It's probably a better way of presenting that information rather than trying to look around with my camera and figure out which restaurant is going to have the most 4 stars bouncing on top of it. I think it gets more interesting when you're doing things that it really makes sense to show that information on top of imagery. Like if you want to repair your car and you don't know how to do it and you're broken down on the side of the road, you want the instructions overlaid directly on what you're looking at in front of you in the car. And that's a case where it makes sense. If you're on a car lot, you know, seeing the review bouncing up and down on top of the car probably isn't that helpful, because that is not the best way of presenting that information necessarily. I think augmented reality is going to have to go more towards useful ways of presenting information, not just in the context of the object that they're associated with, but in a way that makes sense related to what you're looking at and actually presenting it to help you in some way rather than just sell you something.
Well, and when I had my students look at augmented reality, this was a couple of years ago in a master's course in geography, I basically posed to them the question, is augmented reality a solution in search of a problem? And can you find me situations where it actually does make sense? I think augmented reality is maturing enough that we're really ready to start thinking about those kinds of things. Are there consumer uses that would be valuable? I mean, fixing your car might be nice. Fixing a number of things in your house and around your house, I can imagine, would be. But are there other use cases that you think are going to percolate to the top?
Yeah, I think there are. I think the reason that augmented reality feels like the solution in search of a problem is that people focused on getting out the experience, the display, before there was really interesting information to display. And part of the problem with augmented reality is you need things like these advanced computer vision algorithms to actually analyze what's in front of you in some interesting way in order to make augmented reality useful. So, give you an example of where I think consumers would be interested in augmented reality is, let's say you're standing in a store. And my example is I go to my local big box retailer and I want to buy a light bulb. I experienced this the other day. And everything's switched to LED now. So it's no longer straightforward to go and buy a light bulb or the equivalent of a 60-watt light bulb. Now there's all of these LED light bulbs that are different color temperatures and different wattages and all this stuff. I just want to buy a light bulb. If I could pull out my phone and hold it up and either snap a picture or in real time view the equivalent of the Amazon product filters, but in the real world in front of me, and I could say, you know what, I only want to see light bulbs highlighted that are 30 watts that have a color temperature that looks like a regular incandescent bulb and have 4-star ratings and are less than $20, and it would highlight the two bulbs of the 300 or 400 in front of me on the shelf that fit that criteria, that would be a really useful application of augmented reality.
I think you would have all kinds of people cheering if we had that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's where things have got to go, is it's not just a cute gimmick, but it's telling you something you really need to know. Or you're staring in the cold and flu section and you feel terrible and you want to get out of there as quickly as possible, and you're like, which of these things should I be taking? And you start reading side effects and you start reading all these other things. If you could just go in and enter your symptoms and want to highlight the two boxes that actually make sense for you to take, and you could pick one up and go home, that would make you a lot happier.
All right, well, let's move into the world of work.
Sure.
And look at examples in there. And I think the first augmented reality case that I ran into, and this was 15 years ago or so, was exactly what you said about cars, but it was in airplanes and airplane engines and the mechanics getting in there and having, I believe they had headsets, which looked awkward and heavy and horrible, but they could sort of see which bolt had to go into what place and things like that. But I'm sure we've come quite a long way from that.
In scenarios like airplane maintenance or things where you're in a controlled environment, like you can take it into a hangar and you can set up some complex headset system, you can probably do things that you'll never be able to do with a mobile phone or even with Google Glass and something or something like that. So I think in those cases, having headsets and specialized systems probably makes sense. I think lots of examples in the enterprise, from inventory management to planogram compliance, where you're basically trying to decide if things are stocked correctly on aisles. I think maintenance on really expensive pieces of equipment, where maybe you're working on some exotic piece of equipment that very few people know how to actually do the repair correctly, and being able to provide that information to somebody that most people aren't going to have and help them do it at a level of quality they would have a hard time doing otherwise. I think that's where things get interesting for augmented reality and enterprise.
And those are very specialized use cases and probably very specialized pieces of hardware, depending on if you're crawling around inside of an airplane or you're standing on the floor of a giant warehouse.
Yes, absolutely. One of the challenges is that really to make augmented reality incredibly useful, you need these domain experts. You need the guy from oil and gas that knows what would be really incredibly useful to see in the refinery or out on the oil field and looking at equipment, all of these types of things. You need those experts to come and sort of begin defining, here's what I want to know visually about what's in front of me. And right now, a lot of the work is driven by the developers of the augmented reality solutions, which don't necessarily have the domain knowledge to build the really compelling experiences.
Right, sort of guessing at what the problem is.
Absolutely.
As opposed to having somebody articulate exactly what the problem is. Now, how are we doing with user interfaces? You mentioned Google Glass a couple of times, and I certainly understand that as a data capture tool to provide input into these databases. But could that actually be a tool through which you look into the world? Or some later revision of it?
I think we're talking later revisions. I think we're still years away from Google Glass providing a really compelling augmented reality experience where you're viewing virtual information overlaid on top of what you're looking at. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's next year and they've got something cooked up, but the current iteration of something like Google Glass, it's sort of like having a TV off in the corner that you're sitting pretty far away from, and you can look up and over at that TV whenever you want. And that actually is revolutionary in many ways. I mean, that allows you to do all kinds of things that you couldn't do before. But in the traditional augmented reality sense, where you want to see information overlaid, for example, on top of an engine and how to repair a part, the display right now is too small and it's too hard to see in order to really help you do something like repair a car engine. But as they go and advance the technology, and really I think that's what this was about, was getting it out there, getting feedback, iterating on it and making it better. As they advance it, I think it is going to get to the point where it has the resolution and the interface to make it easy to do things like repair an engine or go onto a construction site and see all of the codes overlaid on every wall or see all the walls color-coded based on progress and what contractors is associated for each one. I think those types of things are going to happen, but the hardware needs some more iterations to get there from a Google Glass perspective.
Right. I guess the screen that I'm most familiar with, where we sort of have a big enough screen to project some of this information, is on a car windshield. Right. So I know I've seen implementations where you look through the windshield and there are arrows to say turn right and things like that. to me, it all seemed incredibly overwhelming and scary.
And one of the papers in this issue specifically looked at what are the sort of human factors issues that have to be considered when you do things like build an augmented reality display on top of a windshield. There's all kinds of issues. Are you going to just distract the user? And maybe you're helping them figure out where to go, but you're giving them such a big bright red arrow that they don't notice some curb or something in front of them that they end up hitting. So I think there's a huge amount of work that has to go into figuring out how to build those types of fully immersive interfaces. And I think that's a big difference between what Google Glass has and the windshield concept, is Google Glass has not gone into the fully immersive version of the interface yet. It's still something that you have to actively look off to. You are aware of the fact that you are looking away and being distracted by something when you look up at Google Glass. Whereas a windshield, it's just happening in front of you, and there may not be that same awareness that something could be distracting you versus you would feel that in Google Glass, where you're actively doing something in order to look away and see some information. So I think a lot more is going to have to understand that. I also think that part of the work that I do is in cybersecurity. So I also think that things like fully immersive displays in auto and other mission critical environments are a really scary thing from a cybersecurity point of view. No one's looked at cybersecurity for augmented reality. And if we're doing fully immersive displays on somebody's car windshield, we better start thinking about augmented reality security and what's going to happen if somebody hacks into your car and gives you a red arrow that's off the side of the road that might distract someone and cause them to have a crash.
Right, or somebody puts some misinformation into that big database about the world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's equally challenging. One final use of augmented reality that I'm intrigued by, and that's the application of augmented reality to education. So this idea that we can get students out in the world to learn about geography, history, forestry, whatever, and give them information as they are looking, for example, at that particular type of maple tree. Now, do we have any research that suggests that that's a better way to learn about things than any other way?
I haven't seen any research that quantifies whether it's better or worse. But I will say that personally, I think that one of the killer apps for augmented reality is going to be when you combine MOOCs with augmented reality in order to do things like, for example, you offer a course on small engine repair or a course on trees or whatever. And right now, those types of courses are things that are really hard to give people the hands-on experience that is most beneficial, in my opinion, and from a learning perspective. Actually going and repairing an engine and then having an instructor come over your shoulder and tell you what you did wrong or did right or give you feedback when you're in trouble, or actually going out and looking at a tree and having to name what the tree is and understand different parts of the tree. Those types of experiences you can't do with a MOOC right now. And there's no way to grade people's ability to put together an engine or correctly identify a plant. But if you had augmented reality combined with a MOOC, somebody could go and learn online, watch all the videos, take the quizzes, and then they could go out in the world around them and they could complete the quiz where they begin photographing plants and then saying, I think this is whatever plant it is. And you could automatically use computer vision to grade it and then tell them, yes, this is correct, or no, it's not. Maybe you should look at the bark a little more detailed, and it highlights the bark. And you could think of something similar for engine repair or whatever it is where you need that physical object, and you could get feedback saying, are you sure this part is put in the right place? Are you sure that is tight enough? And I think when you combine the MOOC experience with augmented reality, really interesting things are going to happen.
That sounds awesome, except if people go to do their final exam on their own car and don't put the engine back together correctly.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a real problem. Hey, it's been just wonderful speaking with you, and I've really enjoyed it and learned a whole lot, and my mind is still a little bit blown. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to an interview with Jules White, Assistant Professor of Computer Science in the Department of Electrical Engineering and Computer Science at Vanderbilt University, one of three guest editors in the February special issue of the Proceedings of the IEEE about augmented reality. You can find a link to that entire issue in the show notes. If you'd like to contact us about this podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a message where this podcast is posted at Directions Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.